Father, we just come before you and we thank you for this time that we are living in this world. We are living at this time just in glory to you, just in wonderment of you. And we just lift you up, and it's during those times, it's during these times that we have to praise you, to love you, that we are soaring, that we are as high as we can be. And so God, as we take this time, as we dive into your word, as we dive into your scriptures, would you continue to make that true? Would you continue just to keep us on wings like eagles, just to carry us when we have no strength, to allow us just to worship you when we have no energy, when we have no happiness, that we know that there is ultimately joy in bringing you praise. And so, Father, as we go through our service again, would you continue to just open our minds, open our hearts to hear what it is that you have to say, to hear from your word, to hear from your scripture, to hear from your Holy Spirit. So would you do that this morning? Would you continue just to flow within me, to be within me, and allow me to speak the words that you have, not the words that I have, but ultimately, again, the teaching that comes from you, God. And so as we continue through, we just pray over our service that this would not just be an hour of our time, that this would not just be a moment of our time, but this would just be a time of praise and worship that echoes through the rest of our week, the month, the year, and the rest of our lives, God. And so we take this time and we just settle our hearts from the busyness of our schedules. We settle our hearts of everything that's going on and just lift you up and praise you. And so, Father, we do these, we pray these all in your Son's most precious name. Amen. You guys may be seated. All right. Well, I don't know if anybody has a dream destination or a particular place that you'd really like to vacation to, or maybe you've already been there and you're just kind of checking off your list of places that you'd really like to go to and would love to continue to go to. But I thought I'd kind of share a couple places that we had been looking at. Again, I don't know if maybe there's somewhere in the United States that just really stands out to you. One popular place that we tend to hear a lot about is, if I turn this on correctly, one place we tend to hear about a lot is the Grand Canyon, right, in Arizona. Just great, vast beauty that people will tend to go there and just be awestruck, just be taken aback by just what God has created in that place. Or maybe another type of nature-ish place is Yosemite Park, right, where you just have this one of the largest national forests and parks that we have in our country. And people just like to go camping and see the wildlife. I remember hearing people say that they were in a place where there was like a little crevice big enough that you couldn't jump across, and they just saw a bear. And they're just like, it's just inspiring just to see the kind of nature and the way that God has just created everything here. Or maybe perhaps you kind of like the more big, grandiose, maybe the far-traveling international places. Like maybe you kind of like to go to Rio, for example. That's always kind of one of the big areas that people talk about, of the statue of Christ here that kind of overlooks it, and just kind of seeing just the area and the culture and the people that are there, and seeing how God just created each of us differently and in just unique ways. Or maybe you like something more, quote-unquote, exotic, so to say, something more unique. Maybe you like Dubai, and it's just a place that feels safe to you, a place that just is just awe-inspiring of what the construction of man can create when given the time, when given the credit, that they can take it and just create so many grand things out of nothing, essentially. Regardless of where it is that you like to go to, wherever it is that you feel like you want to go to, isn't it pretty common that whenever you go on a vacation, you come back and you're just like, I'm exhausted, right? Like I need like a couple days. I need another week after I've come back from vacation just so that I can recover. Before I go back into school, before I go back into work, I need time to recover from my vacation, right? It's this idea of taking a break, but in your break, you end up doing more. Because the way of our culture and the way that America's kind of designed us, it's, hey, I'm paying money to go somewhere. I'm paying money to go visit this place. I need to make the most out of it. So every day has to have as many things packed into it as possible. Every hour, I have to be doing something. And if I'm not doing anything, then I'm just wasting the time that I paid to come here for. And so on this break that we are supposed to be on this vacation that we're supposed to be enjoying, we end up working harder than we do when we're back at home. And it's this idea that I bring us into and this kind of concept that we dive into here as we continue through our series. We've been in this series called Disciple in Training, where we've been looking through different spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines that we can take on, that we can interact with, that brings us closer to who it is that God wants us to be, and ultimately into a closer relationship with who Jesus Christ is. And so as we've been going through the series, what we're going to be diving into today is what does it mean to take a Sabbath, to take a rest? Because again, as we can see, you can break, you can take time off, but that's not really resting. It's not what true resting means. And so for us to take a Sabbath is for us to really rest and take time to enjoy that time with God. And so what I want to do here, let me go and give us our working definition that we're going to continue to build off, and that we'll see kind of what does it mean to Sabbath and how this plays out. We can kind of see some examples of why we should take a Sabbath. And then finally, we'll kind of conclude with just some good ways that you can start taking your Sabbath, even just today, if you would like. So again, just our working definition that we're going to be going from here is Sabbath means to refrain or refraining from your normal responsibilities in order so that you can pray and fellowship with God and with other people. Right, so again, it's pulling back, it's taking away, it's stopping your normal responsibilities in order for you to just spend time praying, to spend time fellowshipping, to spend time worshiping God and enjoying that time with other people. Right? So the next thing that I want to look at here as we dive into this background and this definition is kind of where did this word Sabbath come from? Where did this idea of taking a Sabbath originate? So the word Sabbath actually comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. Is how they would say it. And this directly translated just means to rest or to stop. So if you were to take a Shabbat, it was literally to stop all things. And if you ever go into a Jewish synagogue or talk to people of the Jewish faith, you often hear them say Shabbat Shalom, which is to stop and rest and have peace together. That when we greet each other, we're stopping to greet one another in peace. So you'll often hear them say that to people, Shabbat Shalom. And if you ever see somebody that you know is of the Jewish faith and you want to greet them in a culturally relevant, in a way that kind of, you know, makes them seem like you really care about their faith and who they are, you could greet them that way and they would very much appreciate that. That'd be kind of like somebody of another culture coming in and saying, to our elders and our people here. It's recognizing the culture that we have and saying hello in a respectful way. Right? And so in this idea of to stop or to rest, this idea that kind of originated in the way that God created everything, right? We have this famous story that a lot of people know, whether you're Christian or not, that God created the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested, he stopped, he Shabbat. But even though this came all the way out from Genesis 1:1, this idea of taking a Sabbath came out and started from Genesis 1:1, we really didn't see it kind of formulate and become a really formal practice until we got towards the Ten Commandments, until we got in towards Moses and where he was instructed these Ten Commandments to do. And in our day and place now, oftentimes when we hear the word Sabbath, we tend to lean that towards worship. Right, we tend to think that on your Sabbath, you're to worship. You're supposed to come to church and you're supposed to have a service or you're supposed to be in church on that Sabbath day. Right, that's just actually what we get this practice from the Seventh-day Adventist, where they say that the Sabbath is for worship, that the purpose of Sabbath is to worship. And they hold that to say that that was on the seventh day, and that's why we worship on the seventh day, hence kind of their originating terms of Seventh-day Adventist. They worship on the seventh day. And the seventh day in our calendar would then be Saturday, which is why they worship specifically on Saturday. But when we look at this, again, when we look at this definition of Shabbat, again, Shabbat doesn't mean necessarily to worship. Its definition drives you towards resting or stopping. So as we look at this word, again, it's not to say that you can't worship on Saturday, but it's not intended. The purpose of what I think God gave us towards of having a Sabbath, of to take a Shabbat, is to rest, is to cease, is to spend time resting in who God is. And before I kind of move on, I want to clarify that again, while we don't adhere to the things the Seventh-day Adventists do, I want to specify that it's not wrong to worship on Saturday. Right? It's not wrong for a church to say, hey, we're going to have a Saturday service because maybe that works out for their community. That works out for the people that they're trying to express the gospel to. That's the way that their church interacts and their church gathers together happens to be that Saturday works out well for them. Maybe everybody works on Sunday and they want to worship together as a church on Saturday. That is okay. It is not wrong to worship on Saturday. And it's also not wrong if you have a Saturday and a Sunday service. Again, the point being here is that the day you worship on isn't the focus of what it is. The point of Sabbath isn't necessarily to worship God in a service, but again, it's more to focus on the resting that God wants you to have. All right, so let's take a look at why we should do the Sabbath. Why should we take time to rest or to stop? So first off, let me clarify that again, in taking this idea of Sabbath, you are not actually required to Sabbath. Right? It is not something that brings you to salvation. Like we've gone over this in terms of all the disciplines itself, that when you practice these disciplines, when you practice fasting, you practice silence, or you practice solitude, or you practice worshiping God in general, that you do these things not so that you earn your way to salvation. We are not a works-based things. You don't do these disciplines in order to find God and say, I have now encountered you and I am now saved because of these things that I've done. You do these things so that you grow closer in your relationship with God. And Sabbath in particular is one of those that is not required of people. Again, I've kind of mentioned in previous messages that there were 435 different Old Testament laws that were given out. And in those 435, there were generally two different categories that they kind of divided them into. There was the moral side of things, which was, you know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't adultery, don't cheat on other people, you know, those kind of things. Those were the moral side. Don't have any other gods other than God himself. And then on the other side of it, you had more of them, which were ceremonial laws. This was what it meant to take a Sabbath and the laws that they kind of prescribed towards taking a Sabbath. This was how did you sacrifice when you sinned, when you did something wrong? How do you then go to the altar and give back to God so that you can be reunited with him? There was these ceremonial laws that had to take place. And so in these two divisions, the moral laws in the New Testament, Jesus repeated every single one of them. Every single ceremonial law, Christ affirmed. That you should not lie, that you should not cheat, that you should not murder the people next to you, that you should not have an affair, that you should be a man and a woman together, one. All these moral things Christ affirmed. But many of these ceremonial things, when Christ died on the cross, he fulfilled them. That's why we don't have to come before and come to this altar and sacrifice a pig or a dove or grain or whatever it is that we have worked so hard to earn and give back to God to have our sins forgiven because Christ died and forgave all of our sins for us. And so in this division, the ceremonial law, one of those things, again, was talking about the Sabbath, of how do you practice the Sabbath, of how do you hold to the Sabbath. And so, oddly enough, as much as I'm talking about why we should take a Sabbath, Christ never said you had to take the Sabbath. And so that kind of seems counterintuitive. So why am I telling you that you should take a Sabbath then? Right? Because while it's not required of you, there are three things that I think that happens when you don't take your Sabbath. The first thing that they say happens when you don't rest, when you don't relax, when you don't take time off, is they say that your mental status goes down, that your mood goes out the window, that you become significantly more irritable, that you become more annoyed by the little things in life that normally wouldn't bother you. You become disturbed by them. You snap at people, you lash out at your friends and family. When everyone around you is trying to engage with you, you avoid at all costs. So you have this mental breakdown of who it is that you are and who you really want to be. The second thing they say that researchers show when you don't rest, when you don't take time to stop, is that they say you become more prone to injuries. When you overuse your muscles without giving them a chance to recover, it makes them much more prone to failing. It makes them much more likely to break. And then the final thing they say is that in not resting, in not stopping, your immune system suffers. The less time you rest and give yourself and your body to recover, the more likely you are more susceptible you are, rather, to colds and to flus and to other bacterial infections. I'm not a giant science person, but again, they say something about T cells not being there or breaking down or something. Again, there are more science people here in the room, so you can clarify or justify that as much as you like. So I'll leave that to you guys. But they say, again, that it's more likely that you would get sick. So just from our own health, when you don't stop, when you don't rest, you don't work. Mentally, you break down. Physically, you break down. Biologically, you break down. And so I think God instructs us wisely that we need to stop and we need to rest. And the other thing that we look at here comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. And Mark tells us, or rather Jesus tells us in Mark's gospel, he says to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Again, this goes back to this idea that while it's not required for us, the Sabbath was made to serve us, was made to give us energy, to give us rest, to give us time to recover. I think it's what God called us to do. Again, when we don't rest, we break down. And when we do, we engage and we do things the way that God wants us to. So I think those are the reasons why we take Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to serve us, was made to give us energy, to give us focus, to give us recharge. And when we don't, I think you can see physically, mentally, and biologically, we begin just to break down. And so as we go through here, we now ask the question of how do we do this? How do we take Sabbath in just a God-honoring way? So I think taking a Sabbath means to take a break, again, from our responsibilities. We see that in just the way that it was defined. So how do we go about taking a break from our responsibilities? I want to point us here next towards Romans 14:5. And it says that one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. When we look at Romans 14, what Paul is saying to this church is he's saying that, hey, there are a lot of laws that you guys are fighting about. There are a lot of things that you're going over. And these were all the ceremonial things that you're debating. And Paul says, leave it to each person. You decide how you want to take your day. Do you want to consider one day holier than the others? Great, you do that. If the brother next to you says that they don't want to do that, that's fine. That is their declaration and their way of doing it. So the way that you take Sabbath is you decide what day you're going to take as Sabbath. Because notice that Paul says one day. He doesn't say the first day. He doesn't say the seventh day. He doesn't say the third day. He just says each one day. If you take a day, you honor that day as your Sabbath. That will be the day that you pull away from your responsibilities, that you pull away from the things that bog you down. And as you go through these things, you choose the different ways that you're going to go about it. And it may be different than the way that I choose to go about it. It may be different than the way that the people next to you choose to go about it. And that is okay, right? It is okay for our Sabbaths to look different. It is okay for our rest to look different. And so the three ways that I'd say that you go about doing this now, how do you put off responsibility? How do you hold back from burning yourself off is these three things. The first one here is that you relax. Right, regardless of how your life is, regardless of how you work, the first thing you need to do is actually take time to rest. Your Sabbath is a different day than a day off of work, right? When you take a day off, it's so that you can go and take care of something else, right? You take time off of work in the middle of the week because you have another errand that you need to run. When you take your Sabbath should not be a day of errands. It should be a day of resting, of actually relaxing. Of time that you spend doing whatever it is that you need to do. We'll get into this here in just a second. But again, the first thing that you need to do when you take your Sabbath is actually relax. The second thing that I think you should do during your Sabbath is that you need to reflect. In your Sabbath, this is a great opportunity for you as you're relaxing and taking back to just look at your life. How is your walk with God? How is your relationship with your spouse, your family, your roommates, those who are important to you, who are living with you, who you are living with? Take time to reflect on where you're struggling, where you're thriving. What can you do to improve those relationships? What can you do to enforce those, to reinforce those relationships? Take time to reflect on your walk with God, on your walk with others, and see where it is that you need to help and where it is that you are striving and thriving in. I think the last thing that we do here is that we recharge. Do something that brings life, that brings joy to your heart. And maybe that's, again, going out into nature and going out on a bike ride or going on a hike or just enjoying the creation that God meant and that God created. Again, like we had shown earlier, maybe that's Yosemite Park. Maybe that's the Grand Canyon. Maybe that's Bayou Creek. Maybe that's Herman Park. Go out and enjoy whatever it is that God has created and recharge in that way. Or maybe for you, that's just doing nothing. Maybe for you, that's just enjoying time in your house with a cup of coffee, and you can just sit there and just watch the steam evaporate from that cup and just enjoy the time that you have to just enjoy doing nothing, right? Your Sabbath may be different than my Sabbath, which may be different than the person sitting next to you's Sabbath. You take this time to recharge. Do whatever it is that brings yourself life, that brings your heart joy. Because ultimately, we find our Sabbath rest not in what we do, but in Jesus Christ himself. That he alone is our Sabbath rest. That he alone satisfies the requirements of the law. That his alone, that his sacrifice alone is what brings us salvation. That again, that when we take this time to recharge, we focus on who it is that Christ is. We focus on what he's done in our lives and allows us just to rejoin with him. So as we kind of come to a close here, the only question I have left is, how do you know God? How do you rest in God? If you don't know who he is, then how do you properly rest in him? That I would challenge you that if this is your time here in this church and you are wondering, am I called to know who this person of God is? Am I really here to know who he is? Then I would say that he brought you here for that reason. That you are sitting in these chairs so that you can know who it is that God is. And what better way to rest than to know God and to have salvation and know that eternity is set for you? What better way to bring your heart, to bring your soul, and to bring your mind into peace than knowing that eternity is granted to you in your relationship with God? And so that'd be my first question to you here as we close out, is do you know God? Do you know God's rest? And if you don't, then please, I'd love to have a conversation and just share what it means to have that eternal rest, to have that eternal peace that God brings to you. And then if you do know Jesus, then regardless of, again, how you take your Sabbath, remember that the purpose of our Sabbath is to rest in God. Is to take away from our responsibilities so that we can fellowship and pray and spend time with him and spend time with others, building one another up, encouraging one another, and ultimately building each other toward what God has in store for us. Again, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't get so technical in how you plan your Sabbath that you get so caught up in the rules and you don't actually rest. Take the time to do a little bit of nothing. Take the time to do something that brings you into who it is that God made you to be, to bring you to your fullest of who it is that God wants you to be. And again, just continue to remember that Christ is our Sabbath, that Christ is our rest, that it is in him and him alone that you find salvation, that you find peace. And again, that you find your biggest rest. And so with that, let me pray for us here. So Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who it is that you are and that you've given us this opportunity just to rest in you. That you've given us this opportunity that we can be recharged in you. And so as we go through, we ask that you continue just to watch over us. Would you continue to guide us? Would you continue to help us? Again, allow us to relax, allow us to reflect, allow us to recharge well, and that we continue to better understand who it is that you are and who it is that you've made us to be. And so, God, we thank you for this time. We praise you. And as we lift up this last song, would you continue just to remind us that we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to the sin of this world. We are no longer slaves to the things that hold us down here. But again, we are freed in your name. And so we do that. We praise you. We sing these things out to you now. And we do these and pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We continue just to praise you and just to love you. And as we enter into this time of embracing and sharing of your supper, would you just continue to allow us to remember who it is that you are and the sacrifice that you've made. And so we praise you, we love you, we do these and just pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So here at West Houston, we practice the Lord's Supper communion the first Sunday of every month. The purpose of communion is for us just to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross, to remember the blood that was spilled and the body that was broken. And so at this time, let me go ahead and read over a little bit of scripture that kind of gives us the background of where it is that we come into this. And so this comes from 1 Corinthians 11. If we can move it forward a little bit, I think it might be stuck on the controller at least. Hopefully y'all can read that through the background there. Okay, cool. All right, so this is from 1 Corinthians 11, and it reads, "For I received the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" If we could move forward, there we go. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself." So in hearing this last part, we take time now just to spend in prayer and silent reflection, just kind of remembering what it is that we've done, where it is that we've been this week, where we've been in our month, and just kind of take time to reflect on the things that we may have done wrong against God, that we may have done wrong against our brothers and sisters. And just take time to offer that up to Christ, to offer that up to him, and just begin to ask for forgiveness as we enter into this Last Supper remembrance of him. So just take a few minutes, and we'll just kind of spend time in just silent reflection. As we dive into this time, we ask that as we begin into partaking our Lord's Supper, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, we ask that you kind of just withhold and just enjoy this time, as this is a time that we want to, again, just take to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. And so if you have accepted and believe in Jesus as your Savior, would you come up and you can receive the elements and just take them back to your seat, and that we will partake in them together. So as we take of this bread, remember this is Christ's body that was broken for us. So let us eat it together. And as we drink the wine, we remember that this was the blood that was spilled for our sins. Let us drink it together. Okay, let me pray for us now. Father, we thank you again for this time of remembrance. We thank you for the sacrifice that you paid on the cross, that you sent your son to die, not for anything that we could do, not for anything that we deserve, but by your grace and in faith that we come to you knowing that if we believe that our sins have been forgiven. So we take this time to remember the sacrifice. We take this time to remember the suffering that Jesus Christ took for our sins. We remember his broken body, the beatings, the torture, and the suffering that he took on. And we remember the blood that was spilled and that washes our sins dry, that washes our sins white. And so, Father, we take this time and just remember the sacrifice. We remember who it is that you are and what it is that you do each and every day of our lives, that you continue to forgive us of the sins that we commit every single day. And so, Father, we do these, we pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.